I'll be there this morning, and like I said, you know, only two of the Gospels cover the events around the birth of Christ in any detail. Got some Old Testament things, but two of the Gospels kind of limits me where I'm at a lot of times. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." The title of the message today is, "Where is he? Where is he?" And I took that. I didn't, if you read on your own time, and I didn't want to read that much to you today, but down through chapter 2, we see a little bit, there's some time passed somewhere within the first 2 years of Jesus' birth of the wise men that came seeking for Jesus. And in verse 2 of that, the wise men came and they said, they asked this question. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And I'm going to refer to that and a couple other passages from Luke today as well, but I just didn't want to have to do that much reading at the beginning of the message. And as we look at these things right here, as I said already, Matthew and Luke are the only two Gospels that have all the details or a lot of the details of Jesus' birth. And, you know, we were talking in Sunday school about this, and I know this from witnessing to people for years since I've been saved. There's not a more polarizing, or never has been a more polarizing human than Jesus himself. The opinions of who he is, what he is, are all over the place. They've been that way since his birth. They still exist today, and man, people get more fired up about those things than any single human being in the history of the world. And I was sharing on Wednesday night, I think it was, had this friend of mine he pastored for a while. We grew up on the same street. Of course, we weren't pastors in those days, trust me. we grew up on the same street, and you know, and I moved away and all, and God took us down different paths, but he ended up being a pastor. And he took his wife, he lives over in Chincoteague, and his wife, I guess they got the one car, he wanted to go on a little camping trip down at Kipta Peak State Park, and she took him down there and dropped him off. And he said he was setting up his tent, and he noticed this lady across the way, figured she was with somebody, but she wasn't. She hollered at him, "Hey, neighbor," and all, and said he got his tent all set up. And he said the next day, she was over there, had some loud music playing and all, and she came over. He said, "Man, I really didn't want to talk to anybody too much. I'm just kind of getting away." He said he had his Bible laying there on the end of the picnic table. This lady said, he said it didn't take him about 5 seconds to realize when she was on something. He said she was talking a million miles an hour, and she went from, she was an author, a publisher, I don't know what all, named off all these things that she said she was, and he was trying to get a word in edgewise, but she started talking about how she was real tough and that she had a baseball bat and a taser and a knife and this and that and the other thing. And Donald said, "Boy, here the door is opened up." He said, this is where I'm going to jump in right here. He said, "I noticed that you were really worried about all the evil that there is out there in the world. Have you ever considered Christ?" Boy, he said, "Man, things changed in a hurry, boy." He said she went off. She went off on him and said, "You know, don't you start thumping the Bible to me." And man, he said she started cussing him and everything and went off and said she started speaking in another tongue of some kind. He said he didn't know what she was saying. She was pointing at him and started walking down to the bathhouse and was doing the same thing and looking back at him and pointing a finger and all that. And he was like, I said, "Man, I'd have been on the phone to Michelle, his wife, come back and get me." He said she went down there and he said, "Man," he goes, "I'm telling you what, we talked about on a couple days back." He said, this is demon possession. She was possessed. And he said that the next day, I said, boy, I've been a restless night of sleep, laying in bed over there every time you're laying on in your tent, worrying about the sounds that you heard. Well, he said next day got up and she was gone. But see, everything was hunky-dory till he, and that's what brought me to this. Everything was fine until he mentioned Jesus. And boy, there's an effect there. There's an effect, and it's always been that way. You know, we celebrated Christmas. I always watched the Christmas story. You know, not much about Jesus in that, but you know, it reminds you of Christmases you had. And you know how the story goes. At the end of the day, Ralphie's sitting there, and his dad asks him, you know, did you get everything you want? Well, almost everything. Well, there's always next year and all that. And then he says, you know, what's that over there in the corner? You know, over there. And you know how he goes over there and he finds a Red Ryder BB gun. I got Damien, my grandson, I got him one year, and we did the same thing. And like we were passing out the gifts like Santa Claus and nothing was going to him. He was starting to get upset about it. I mean, he wasn't getting anything. Danielle said, you better get something. He's getting upset. So I said, oh, go over there and look behind the speaker. He went over there and you got the same thing. But we're looking, you know, when I was a kid and thinking about those gifts that way, when I was a kid, and I shared this with you before, I remember one time I had so many presents and all the wrapping paper, you know, it looked like a bomb went off and there's wrapping paper everywhere. And late in the day, I found a present that I hadn't seen. Been there, it was like 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and presents been opened hours before. But there was a present under the tree. It'd been there the whole time. But it had got all mixed up and blended up in the wrapping paper and all the boxes and stuff that had already tore open like that. And I started thinking about that in relation to how many people can't find Jesus because of all the stuff in their life, all the things that are going on, the busyness of life. Like I said this, I think, Sunday night or Friday night, Christmas Eve. Not things that necessarily of themselves are bad or sinful or bad things like that. I'm thinking just stuff that you got going on, raising families, jobs, business, kids, grandkids, just everything that we do. How many people can't find Jesus because of all the stuff that goes on in their life? I had a few points today, and some of this is a little bit historical, just to kind of help you along the way, not all of it, but a few things that have to do with, since this is after what we celebrate Jesus' birth, or the day we celebrate Jesus' birth, the events after Jesus' birth. Just got really 2 points with some sub-points in them this morning. The first point is this, who is Jesus? Matthew 1:23 said, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then in verse 25, and even above that, it tells us this, it said he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we see two things right there. Isaiah's prophecy about 700 years before the birth of Christ says that his name shall be called Emmanuel. Now, Joseph named his son Jesus. In the Greek, that's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior, basically. It means Savior. But I looked that up, and the Hebrew usage of the word Emmanuel doesn't represent a title or a name, but is a characterization. Can't talk. Characterization about Jesus. You know, we have titles. This is the only one I can think of out of the Bible. It's not a good illustration here, but it'll work. In the Bible, we know about Rahab the harlot, right? Her name wasn't harlot, but that title characterized what she had been because she got saved, but what she had been, Rahab the harlot. Emmanuel is a characterization, which this is great. This is great because it's not his name, but it's a characterization, which means Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. That this is a verse that shows the deity of Christ. This is a polarizing point. I mean, man, the Hebrews never would take it. They wouldn't. The Jews in Jesus' day wouldn't accept it. And there's people today that won't accept the fact that Jesus is God and is and was God in the flesh. They won't accept that. There's a lot of Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in and through the birth of Christ, or in and around the birth of Christ. Micah 5:2, we mentioned that. Around 800 years before Jesus was born, named the place of Jesus' birth, Bethlehem. Man, if that wasn't a fulfillment of prophecy. Bethlehem. Hosea 11:1, about 800 years before his birth, predicted his flight into Egypt. That's a dual prophecy in Hosea 11:1. It prophesied the fact that Israel would flee from Egypt or down into Egypt. And then also, but it applies to Jesus because he always identifies with his people, so it does, in a sense, apply to that as well. And then Jeremiah 31:15, 700 years before the birth of Christ, predicted the slaughter of the children 2 years old and under from Matthew chapter 2. And that was around Jesus' birth. Remember when Herod, he told the wise men, when you find that child, you come back and tell me where he is. And he said, I want to go and worship him. Well, he didn't want to go and worship him. That was a lie. He wanted to kill him because he heard he was king of the Jews. The wise men, God spoke to the wise men and led them not to go back. And Herod, in his anger and in his fear of this king, had all the children in that region. Imagine that, in that area, 2 years old and under, he had all them, those babies slain. That was prophesied 700 years before it actually took place. The accuracy of the scripture proved over and over and over again about the birth of Christ. And we were talking about this in Sunday school hour this morning, why the Jews in Jesus' day, they wouldn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, even though he was fulfilled every prophecy in the Old Testament, but they couldn't see it. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit more in just a few minutes. When you look in the human line of Christ in Matthew chapter 1, the first part of it, I didn't read it, but we have the genealogy of Christ, his line. It shows his line, the human line. And the Jews were great about this, about keeping records. You know, so-and-so begat so-and-so. You ever read, you get in the Old Testament, sometimes you can get kind of bored because, number one, you can't pronounce half of the names. And it's just somebody begat this one and begat that one and begat that one. And then also they died. They ended up dying. And we see a shorter one here in Matthew chapter 1. About that, but you know what? This is, if you can't read the names, it's good to read the names. But it shows this. It tells us this, that Jesus is a part of history, that he's a real person, that he has a family tree. It goes back farther than most of us can name our family tree. I can go back to my great great grandfather on one side and a great grandfather on the other. That's it. It shows that he's a real person, that he's part of history, that his birth was a real event. Matthew gives Jesus' line through his stepfather Joseph. Luke gives Jesus' line through Mary. There's two human lines that Jesus came through, that he was a real person. There's a divine line. All the other ones say that so-and-so begat the next child, usually the males, the way it would go. He begat the next one in line. But in Joseph's case, it didn't say that he begat Jesus. It said that he was the husband of Mary because he wasn't Jesus' actual father. He was a stepfather because Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and Mary became with child that way. Jesus is actually the only Jew alive that can prove his lineage, his claim to the throne of David, because all their Jewish records were destroyed in 70 AD when Romans went into Jerusalem and tore it and destroyed it down. Nobody else can prove it like Jesus could in this day. And so, boy, you know, that wasn't an accident either, was it, the way that God did that? So we see, you know, who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? And then this is the point I really want to preach on the most today, is who finds Jesus? Who finds him? You know, from Luke's account, that angels appeared to those shepherds out in the fields. They watched their flocks by night. And I preached on that a few weeks ago. Then Luke goes on also and tells us about a man named Simeon that was in the temple, and a woman named Anna who was a prophetess, a widow woman. We see this devout man and this widow woman. They were both in the temple of God. And then we also know in Luke's account that later on that these wise men, sometime after Jesus' birth, and they represent some types of people that we have in the world today. The shepherds represent the working class. the wise men represent the student class, and Simeon and Anna represent the worshiping class of people. We think about those shepherds, the working class. Not only were the working class, they were the humble class. They were the weak, what we look at as weak, or the world would look at as the weak class. Then there was the despised class as well. I also represent the average class, the way I look at it, just average man. Average man, we probably fit in this class. The shepherds, more so than that worshiping class, even though we are worshipers here today, but at that time. I don't believe that the shepherds were actually looking for the Messiah that night. I mean, they were Jewish or they were Hebrew. They knew about the Messiah, and in the grand sense of things, the Jewish people were looking, not diligently looking, but they knew a Messiah would come. They knew that. And I grew up in my time, I've shared this with you before, I never knew anybody that claimed to be an atheist till I was 17 years old. And I couldn't believe it. And now listen, I wasn't saved. I was lost as they come, but I always believed there was a God. I believed there was a Jesus. I believed in the virgin birth. I didn't have a problem with that. I believed about the resurrection, the crucifixion, the resurrection. I believed that. I knew what Christmas was about, even though we had the other little things going on with it. I knew what the real deal was with it. I didn't have a problem with that. But I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't looking for Jesus. And I think a lot of people fit in that category. I believe those shepherds, because of their heritage, because of Jewish heritage and how they shared everything, and then they had scriptures, that they knew that there was a Messiah going to come. They didn't know when. I don't believe these guys were out there just thinking, boy, tonight's the night. Jesus is going to show up. He's going to be born on earth. I don't believe they were really looking for a Messiah, like a lot of people today that know about Jesus, but they're not looking for Jesus. They know, they got information. They knew about it. I knew most of these things just from the Christmas songs themselves. The things that we sang. A lot of them are inaccurate, by the way. But just from those songs. I knew about this all my life, but I wasn't seeking or looking for Jesus. And I believe those shepherds were in their field and those angels appeared with a message. And I like this. I preached on this back. I like the thing about this. When they came, and this doesn't always happen to everybody that's not looking for Jesus, I'm going to tell you that. When those angels came and appeared and said, told about Jesus' birth, and they saw the glory of heaven, it said that they left those sheep, they left their work, and they said, let's go see this sight. Let's go see it. And not everybody does that. They know about it, they hear about it, they sing about it, but they don't leave anything to turn. They turned aside. I've preached a message on that before. I'm turning aside, like Moses, man, when that burning bush was burning, he had to turn aside to go see it. He could see from where he was, but he turned aside to get to it, to get close. And I believe that that's what happened is, you know, with them. They left their work. They turned aside. They rearranged their priorities of life. They had priorities. I always wondered about this. I said, you know what? Here, their main concern was sheep. I think you have to watch them, I think, in those days because there was wild beasts and all that. Who watched the sheep while they were gone? I'll tell you who did. God did. God did. Listen, man, God wasn't going to let anything happen to them sheep while those guys went to go worship Jesus. God in the flesh, nothing was going to happen to them sheep, but they didn't care about that. See what I'm saying? We get so tangled up in all these worries and cares and everything. We worry about everything but God. Worry about what everybody else thinks but God. Worrying about this and that. Who's going to take care? Oh, I just don't believe. Well, listen, man, we said, listen. Brian said this morning in Sunday school, if God's got something for us to do, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. Nothing. If God's got a purpose for you and you're going to go fulfill that purpose, and God knows, huh? What's going to happen to you? Who's going to kill you? What's going to kill you? Nothing. Nothing. But God's got a purpose. Listen, those sheep were fine. But I like the fact that they said, you know what? What's more important? Seeing Jesus or watching sheep? Sheep. Man, they said, listen, we're going to go see Jesus. Huh? We're going to left them sheep. Forget about sheep. We're not worried about sheep. They went to see Jesus. They rearranged their priorities. And so it is today. Jesus was born. He lived. He was crucified. He died. He resurrected. During the time that he lived, I believe he created the church. After his death, he empowered the church on the day of Pentecost. We have the canonized Word of God right here, the Bible. There's millions of transformed lives in the world, people that have trusted Christ, millions of them, the evidence. See, that's the evidence. Listen, people argue about this all the time. They say, oh, man wrote it. Man pinned it down. Man couldn't dream this up in that pea brain he's got if he tried. It's not happening. Man pinned it down because God told them. They didn't even know what they were writing. Those guys that wrote 700 years ahead that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, I think there was one prophecy I know was written in Bethlehem, didn't even exist when they wrote it. They didn't know what they were writing. Did they know what they were writing about? Uh-uh. They didn't know. God directed them to write it down, to pin it down. And so we've got all the evidence there, but like I said, man, I've argued, man, my great-grandmother used to say I could argue the horns off a brass monkey. I don't know exactly what that means. Is she trying to say I was hard-headed? Now, what not about this? But man can, you know, they can argue about it. And you can't prove the existence of God with words. You cannot. Somebody don't want to believe in God? You can say, well, what about? And they'll just say, I just don't want to believe. Right? But I'm going to tell you, there's one thing they can't argue. That transformed life. Huh? That transformed life. In the New Testament, when you go down through the New Testament and Jesus healed somebody, and I'm telling you, everybody that he ever healed, he saved them too. They had a spiritual rebirth besides a physical healing. Everybody, they said, well, I know that's the guy that's been blind all his life. I don't know how he got it. All I know is he was blind and now he sees. They couldn't argue against that. I know that was the lame man. I know he was lame his whole life, but now he's not lame. I can't argue about that. How it's done, I don't know. I know that was a leper, but now he's not. Huh? That transformed life. Huh? You know what? You trusting Christ, having your life transformed, will be the greatest evidence that somebody may see that Jesus is real, that God is real, that he has transforming power. Yeah, you and I. That's why God did what he did for us. How about that? Y'all got a pulse? Yeah, I'm just checking. Just see if you got a pulse. Huh? Some breath. Hey, I'm going to get one of them machines you check everybody when they come through the door, you know. Yeah, get a paddles and put them on the wall. Hey, I'll tell Stanley, run over there and fire somebody up. Boom. Make sure y'all got a life. I'm just checking. Well, this is rough. Holidays are rough, right? So, there it is. All the evidence of the birth and the reality of Jesus. God also spoke through creation. The Bible tells us that, Hebrews. And he continues to speak through everything that I mentioned already, all those things. But now the world, the working class that's represented by the shepherds, the individuals of the world, it's up to us. Listen, God doesn't have to do anything else. It's up to us to turn aside to see. Huh? Yeah. That's, like I said, I knew these things my whole life. And when Sherry and I got married, and we bought a house out in the country up in Amosville, Virginia, Culpeper County. It was a little church near there. You know, here it was. It was my time. It was my time. And what happened, you know, I mean, I believed in the historical aspect, but I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I believed, I never doubted there was a God. I never doubted that the Bible was true. I never said that in my life. But I wasn't a saved person. I wasn't trusting Jesus. It's different. See, it's the difference between this knowledge right here. That's the difference. And so what happened one day, I turned aside. A church visited with me a couple times. And Sherry had actually gone looking at a couple churches, visiting church. And then that Sunday, she said, you want to go to church one day? I said, yeah, I do. She said, where you want to go? I said, well, let's go up to that church that visited with us. I said, you know, she said, okay. Lo and behold, about 3 weeks later, that pastor and some guys came visit me, led me to the Lord in my house. I mean, but see what happened? I had to turn aside. God had done everything that he was going to do. He revealed himself to everybody. And I believe he calls us. He's speaking to our heart. I mean, when he sent his son to die on the cross and he resurrected from them, I mean, that was a call to mankind right there. And now it's always my prayer at Christmas time. If somebody will not think about God the rest of the year, maybe somewhere along the white line, manger scene, lit up sign that says Jesus on it out front, something. Maybe it'll make them think, hey, you know, start thinking about God. And so we see the working class, the shepherds. Then we see the wise men, the student class. A lot of myths about that. We sing, you know, we tie it in with Christmas. It was after Christmas sometime. That's okay. I like the song. No, not three. It doesn't say there was three wise men. It doesn't say any of them were kings in Scripture. There's no names given to them in Scripture. They were the Magi, the astrologers. They studied the stars. They were the wise men of the day. But you know what? They were looking. Now, perhaps in the wrong place. I'll say it this way. Perhaps in the wrong place. They were astrologers. They were studying the stars. But God used that because he knew what their heart was doing. And God led them by a star because that's where they were looking. They were looking for that there. And so perhaps in the wrong place, but God knew. And God revealed something to these guys. And they said, we've seen a star in the east. And somehow they were prompted or compelled to follow that star to where Jesus was, to that place. It works the same way today. Huh? I look back on the time when I got saved, and I look back at that time in my life and where we moved to, where we ended up living, where I wanted to go. I didn't go where I wanted to go. I didn't get the house I wanted. I got a house just like it, but not in the same spot. How God moved me from that position to that position to that position. And looking back, I can say, boy, that was the hand of God. God got me to himself. God got me to himself. Listen, when we're looking, and God is going to get somebody. They acted on that revelation. They inquired. They put forth the effort to find Jesus themselves, and that's it. And a lot of people know what the Scriptures say, but they still don't seek him. Without knowing it, the wise men brought gifts. The Bible says it spoke of who and what Jesus is. They brought gold, and that speaks of royalty. They brought frankincense, which speaks of the fragrance of Jesus' life, and myrrh, which was used to embalm the dead, and that speaks of his death. And to show you how accurate the Bible is, in Isaiah, in prophecy in Isaiah, 700 years before, in 60 verse 6, concerning the Lord's return, which hasn't happened yet when he comes back, gold is mentioned, incense is mentioned, but not myrrh, because he's not going to die again. Huh? Isn't that's just a minute, the minutiae of the Scriptures, the prophetic word of God. And those wise men, they studied, they looked, they sought, they found Jesus. They traveled hundreds of miles, if not over 1,000 miles, I don't know. They traveled with not much to go on, didn't have a GPS, didn't have MapQuest, didn't have any of that. They had a star leading them. They had enough faith that that was the right place to go, and they were led by God. And I'm going to tell you what right here, if you're looking for God, if anybody sincerely is seeking God, God will provide a way. My pastor Woodard, that led me to the Lord, Clyde Woodard was his name. He's dead now and in glory. And I remember, though, he told a story one time. They'd go out on visitation out in the country out there up in Culpeper County area. And said they went one night. They were going to go to a specific house, and wherever they went, the people weren't home. And there was, you know, two or three of them. They were riding around the car, and they said, well, where are we going to go? And you know how they get those areas where they got those big plowed fields. Culpeper's just kind of rolling hills. But it was plowed field out there in a pretty flat area. And way off in the middle of it, there was a trailer back there. It had a dirt road that went down to it. They didn't get to go to the house they wanted to go to, but God had another plan. And they said, well, let's just go down there to that trailer. And they went down that dirt road to that trailer, and they knocked on the door. They had suits on.
Knocked it off.
Told you I was having technical difficulties. All right, back on the air. Everybody wore suits when they went out. And this lady said they knocked on the door, and this lady came to the door, and she was crying, and she had a Bible in her hand. And she said, are you men preachers? They said, yeah. They said, I've been looking and looking, trying to see how to get saved. God had an appointment, buddy. I mean, God sent those guys right to that. I mean, it wasn't an accident that the other house, the people were not home. And that God impressed upon their heart to go. See, she had a desire. Y'all know that story about old David Gibbs and Glendy Hamilton. 2 o'clock in the morning, stop at a convenience store. Glendy Hamilton had said he had witnessed to somebody, one person a day, every day for 7 years. And he said, man, David Gibbs said he was riding with him in the car, and they pulled in the gas station and said that 2 in the morning, Nobody there went in there. There was a lady in there behind the counter. They went in there, and David said he was down there getting some snacks. And said, next thing you know, Glendy Hamilton walks up to the woman and said, God sent me here today to talk to you. And David said, I was thinking, man, that ain't the way I would do it. This isn't the way I do it. And he said, the lady, when he said, God sent me here to you, he said, the lady was reaching down under the counter like this. And David said, man, I was ready to dive in the floor, man. I figured she's coming out of there with a shotgun. God sent me here to you. Said she reached down there and she said, she pulled a Bible up. Said, I've been looking and looking in here, trying to see how to get saved. Can you tell me how to get saved? Huh? 2 o'clock in the morning. David Gibson, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He already knew about Glendy Hamilton, witnessed somebody. He said about that time, she got down on her knees. Well, this other woman come in and had left her baby in her house. It was just right up the street, and nobody watched the baby. Now, you can imagine mama's leaving your baby in the house. But she had to get the milk, whatever she had to get. She ran down there to the store. She walks in. Here's Glendy Hamilton down on his knees with this woman, praying with her about being saved, and said, she walked in and said, what's going on? She said, the woman said, he's showing me how to get saved. She said, well, I want to get saved. And she got down there on her knees and she started asking God. So these two old truck drivers was going down the road, said they drive that road all the time. They never stopped there. Never. They never stopped there. That particular day, they said, man, let's pull in. They pulled in. They walked in the store, said, here's three people down on the ground, two women's crying. This other guy's down there talking to them. They said, what's going on here? And they said, well, these women wanted to get saved. And they said, well, you know, we were just talking about that driving down the road. And they went over there, and them two guys got saved. There was four people. They got led to the Lord at 2 o'clock in the morning in a convenience store out in the middle of nowhere. That was all God ordained. Huh? Everybody, nobody pulled in there by accident. Nobody pulled in there by accident. Man, and the day I got saved, my wife would write them little notes and stick them on the refrigerator. In the midst of all the other magnetic things that stick on her. I finally got a stainless steel refrigerator so I can avoid this. But she stuck them on there and it said, Daniel, I believe these people have a burden for your soul. I got saved that day, that night. Guys came to my house and led me to the Lord. Huh? Man, I'm telling you what, we see that. So listen, when there's a seeking class, a student class, somebody that, and I mean by student, somebody that's got enough acumen to say, you know, I need to find God, I need to find Jesus. He'll get either somebody to you or get you to somebody. And then there's Anna and Simeon. They were the worshiping class of people that we see. And Simeon, the Bible says that he was a devout man, which means that he was a faithful man, and he was looking for the Messiah. Now, he was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. He knew about the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. He was looking. And he believed God. He had a habit of being in the temple, by the way. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was taught by the Word of God, and he was obedient to the will of God. And he had heard that he wasn't going to see death. He was told by God he wouldn't see death until he saw the Lord's Messiah. He wouldn't see death. Boy, how important it is to see God's salvation before we see death. Anna, the Bible says she was a godly widow of great age. She was over 91 years old. I know that for a fact. She devoted herself to serve God through prayer and fasting, and that she remained in the temple. Now, the temple was a big place. She was there as well. They were worshiping God. They were worshipers of God. They were listening to God. And she came up to where Simeon was speaking, not accidentally. Right as he was talking about when he had seen Jesus, he knew that that was the Messiah. He saw that child. Joseph and Mary had taken him to the temple. They said, there it is. I've seen the salvation of the Lord. I've seen the Messiah. She came up as Simeon was praising the Lord for that child, Jesus. She walked up at that same time to that area of the temple. Think about that. Not an accident. Not an accident. Nothing happens in life that are accidents along those lines. And the wise men had asked, and I'm almost done. I didn't have a real long message for us today, and I know the way things are, but get to the point and cut to the chase. The wise men asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he for you? Where is he? Way off in heaven somewhere? Is he in here? He's in our heart, right? If we're saved, he's in our heart. Have you found him? Have you received the gift that God gave? Just think how long. Brian was telling about a present he got last year for Christmas. He just used it the first time this year, he said, sometime. How many of you ever get? I had a grandmother one time gave me this. I don't know what it is to this day. I've never been able to use it because I don't know what it is. It kind of looks like suspenders. I finally got rid of it. It looked like suspenders, but they weren't exactly right, but they were made like that. Looked like they, I didn't know if they went around luggage. I didn't know what they were. I didn't use them for anything because I didn't know what they were. And how many people have you ever gotten a gift that you didn't use or you didn't have a need for it? And here's God sent this gift, and a lot of people haven't opened it yet, opened him yet. Huh? Jesus, where's he for you? Have you found him? Have you received God's gift? Simeon, in his prophesying about Jesus in Luke, later on in Luke in 2:34, said about Christ that he was given that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And what that means, and as I said, he's the most polarizing man there ever was. Our attitude towards Jesus reveals everything that God needs to know, which he already knows our heart, that we need to know. Our attitude towards Jesus. Amen? Have you received God's gift? Come on up, Paul, and we'll have an invitation. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Thank you all for coming today.